To make a donation, visit biblicallycorrectpodcast.org/donate. And if you enjoy this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you for your support. What does it mean to be Judaism-ish? Welcome to the Biblically Correct Podcast. Shalom, y'all. This is the Biblically Correct Podcast, teaching biblical correctness in a biblically incorrect world. My name is Kevin Jeffrey. I am a Jewish follower of the Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, and I love teaching the scriptures. When you walk into your Messianic Jewish congregation or synagogue service on Shabbat, you're highly likely to hear and see things like head coverings, prayer shawls, liturgy and siddurs, the reading of the Torah portion, a Torah scroll processional, the Kiddush, the Hamotzi, and the traditional Jewish blessings. But why? Why are these elements part of the culture and expression of the typical Messianic Jewish synagogue service? What purpose do they serve? How do they make us better disciples of Messiah? In what way do they support and reinforce the Jewishness of the Messianic Jew? Today, I want to do something a little bit different and just talk about something I've observed in Messianic Judaism, perhaps extending to the larger Messianic and Jewish roots movements. How both Jews and Gentiles adopt the traditions of non-Messianic Judaism as part of their faith expression in Yeshua. And what I've noticed is that the embracing of non-Messianic Jewish tradition is tied to the idea that Yeshua himself is Jewish. And therefore, since we all want to follow and be like Yeshua, then the culture of Judaism should also be, at least to some degree, our culture as well. And as a Jewish believer, this rings true to me, at least depending upon what you mean by Jewish culture. Because if we're comparing traditional Christian culture to Jewish culture, then it would definitely be considered a Jewish thing to keep the Torah, to rest on the seventh day, to abstain from unclean foods, to celebrate the feasts and the Moedim, and so forth. These are things that God gave to our people 3,500 years ago, which Yeshua himself upheld as things that will never pass away until heaven and earth pass away. So as a Messianic Jew, the keeping of the Torah most definitely supports and reinforces my walk with Yeshua and the Jewishness of my identity in him. But what about kippahs and tallits and parading Torah scrolls and Passover seders and Jewish rituals and blessings? Do these reinforce my Jewishness? Do they belong as part of my Jewish culture as a Jewish believer? Did 2,000 years of non-Messianic rabbinic Judaism preserve whatever traditions Yeshua might have kept? Do the traditions bring me closer to God? Do they help me to drink the pure milk of his word? So when I ask myself these questions and I weigh the God-breathed scriptures on the one hand with the man-made traditions and culture of Judaism on the other, unfortunately, I don't see them complementing each other as they're portrayed in Messianic Judaism. I see them in competition. And believe me, I feel really uncomfortable saying this. I would much rather not see things this way. I mean, I'm talking about the traditions and culture of my own people. But the fact is, one supports and reinforces and guides me in my Jewishness, the scriptures, while the other, man-made tradition, supports and reinforces and guides me in what I call Judaism-ishness. One helps to define what it means to be Jewish, the other defines what it means to be Judaism-ish. Let me explain. In Romans 2, when Paul was talking to the Jewish believers who were being arrogant about their Jewishness and defining that Jewishness according to their outward circumcision and Torah keeping, Paul said to them in verses 28 and 29, "For one is not Yehudi or Jewish who is only so outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is only outward in the flesh. But one is Yehudi who is also so inwardly, and whose circumcision is also of the heart, in the ruach, not only in letter, for which the praise is not of men, but of God. In other words, Paul was saying that Torah keeping and circumcision alone isn't what makes a Jewish believer truly Jewish, a Jew inwardly. But it's the circumcision of the heart in the spirit, which we know comes from Yeshua. That's what makes a Messianic Jew inwardly Jewish. Judaismishness, on the other hand, doesn't contribute to that scriptural Jewishness. Judaismishness isn't inward and of the heart and spirit, but is outward and contributes only to our expression of Judaism. It doesn't make us more Jewish, it makes us more Judaismish. It makes us not keepers of the scriptures and temples of the Holy Spirit, but adherents to and emulators of Judaism. Judaismishness puts Judaism on top of or beneath or beside our Messianic biblical faith. Now, part of the original case that was made in the modern Messianic Jewish movement to incorporate and adapt and appropriate Rabbinic Judaism for our services and in our daily life was that it would have the added benefit of making us more authentically Jewish in the eyes of unbelieving Jews, that we didn't leave or forsake our Jewish people and convert to Christianity. By reincorporating the elements and culture of Judaism, which many of the early leaders in the 1970s came by legitimately through their own upbringing in traditional Judaism before getting saved, it was thought that this would help remove an unnecessary stumbling block to the sharing of the good news with Jewish people. And while that may have worked for a time, I'm not really sure if it did, that hasn't been the case for the more than quarter of a century that I've been involved in the Messianic Jewish movement. And I say this with no animosity or judgment toward my fellow leaders. I'm just making observations. I remember the very first Messianic Shabbat service I attended back in Jacksonville, Florida, being overwhelmed in that room full of Jewish believers, just like me. If you're not Jewish, I don't know if I can adequately express to you what it feels like as a Messianic Jew to be with other Jewish believers and to share that familial bond, especially when you're isolated from your own flesh and blood family who doesn't share your faith in Yeshua. To connect with other Jewish believers, and a whole synagogue full of them no less, praising and worshiping God in an apparently distinctly Jewish way is beyond expression. And I remember after the service, I went up to one of the elders and asked him, because I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, how many people here are actually Jewish? And he said, about 25%. Wow, just 25%. That was surprising. Everything seemed so Jewish. Everyone looked so Jewish, at least at first glance. And that was the culture that was created, at least partially, if not principally, for the stated purpose of Messianic Jewish evangelism. It looked Jewish, it felt Jewish, it seemed Jewish. But no offense to my Gentile brothers and sisters, it wasn't Jewish. It was 25% Jewish. And as it turned out, that was an exaggeration. It was actually closer to 10. And while those numbers didn't deter me at first, it didn't take long before I was seeing the flaw in the argument for this kind of expression. Now, I wasn't raised as a believer, and I wasn't raised in the synagogue. We were a secular Jewish family. We did Passover and Hanukkah, and that was it. So when I got to the Messianic synagogue, after having been a believer for about 8 or 9 years by that point, that's when I really started to learn about Judaism. And what I found was that Judaism wasn't scriptural. The things you do in Judaism aren't found in the Bible. And often, they run contrary to what the scriptures say. And of course, in Judaism, there's no love for Yeshua. So what was and is still happening in Messianic Judaism is a selective assimilation and messianizing of Rabbinic Judaism. It's kind of like when you go to a Jewish deli and it doesn't say kosher, but kosher style. That's a lot of Messianic Judaism. In fact, I once heard an elder in another Messianic congregation describe Messianic Judaism to someone as church with a Jewish flavor, at which point it just becomes an insulting caricature of Judaism, not to mention fodder for Jews who claim that Messianic Judaism is just a front for converting Jews to Christianity. But even in the most sincere, well-executed, genuine, thoughtful expressions of rabbinically influenced Messianic Judaism, it still only gives the appearance of Orthodox or conservative Judaism, because it's been modified in an attempt to make it more harmonious with Scripture and with Yeshua. And the problem this creates is that now this Messianic Jewish faith expression is neither authentically Jewish according to Scripture, nor is it authentically Jewish according to Judaism. It's Judaism style. It's Judaism-ish. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I do truly mean this. If emulating rabbinic Judaism, if being Judaism-ish, actually resulted in Jewish salvations, I'd be all for it. I'd put on that kippah and that tallit, and I would daven, I would keep two sets of dishes, I would do it all. As Paul said in Romans 9:3, "For I was praying to be accursed, I myself, from the Messiah, for the sake of my brothers, my relatives, according to the flesh." So if Paul was willing to be separated from the Messiah for his Jewish people, the least I could do is put on the yoke of Judaism. But the problem is that emulating Judaism doesn't work. Doing Jewish tradition, or looking like you're doing it, doesn't lead to Jewish salvations. According to the 2020 Messianic Leaders Survey, 2/3 of Messianic congregations saw 5 or fewer Jewish salvations during the previous 5-year period. That's less than 1 Jewish salvation per congregation per year. And many had 0. So while the original idea for adapting rabbinics in Messianic Judaism was to try to appear and live more Jewishly in Messiah, what it actually resulted in was appearing and living more Judaism-ishly. And this leads us to what I see as the biggest problem with the Judaism-ishness in Messianic Judaism and the Jewish Roots movement and wherever you find it. And that is that both Messianic Jews and Gentiles alike tend to mistake Judaism-ish things for biblical ones. It leads to a conflation and confusion over what is Scripture and what is Judaism. For instance, I remember one time being asked by a lady, "How do you do Shabbat? What are you supposed to do to keep Shabbat?" And I knew the answer she was looking for. She wanted me to explain that before sundown on Friday, you light the candles and welcome the Shabbat, you do the Kiddush and Hamotzi, you go to synagogue on Saturday morning, etc., etc. But she was really disappointed with the answer I actually gave her, which was, "Rest, don't work, and don't light a fire." And she just looked at me, waiting for me to give her more. Then she started asking me about all those other things I had just mentioned. She couldn't get her head around the idea that what the Scriptures say about Shabbat and what Judaism says about Shabbat are 100,000 miles apart. One is simple and brings freedom. The other imposes a system of extra-biblical do's and don'ts. One is explicitly upheld by Yeshua, the other is not. And we need to not forget that the only time that Judaism is mentioned in the Scriptures is by Paul in Galatians 1:13 and 14, and it's not in a favorable light. And Yeshua also, several times, called out the Jewish religious leaders for the way they favored tradition over Scripture. As he says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 6, "You set aside the word of God because of your tradition." And similarly, in Mark 7:9, "You put away the command of God very well so that you may keep your tradition." So this has always been the danger with tradition. All traditions, whether Jewish or Christian or what have you, they just seem to have a way of infringing upon and overshadowing the simple teaching of Scripture, with the real potential to lead you astray. I've seen far too many believers who start down the Judaism-ish road, falsely thinking they're on the Torah road, only to end up walking away from the faith and denying Yeshua. So the question you need to ask yourself is, does the time and effort that I expend on emulating Judaism really help me to better keep the commands of Scripture, or do they actually help me to better keep the commands of Judaism? Do the traditions of Judaism teach and inform me about Yeshua and how to obey the Word of God, or do they impede my access to God's pure Word? Do they mainly make me a better disciple, not of Yeshua, but of Judaism? And because Messianic Judaism is so infused with Rabbinic Judaism, hardly anyone even thinks to ask these kinds of questions. There's no practical distinction between keeping Torah and following the traditions, as if the traditions are necessary for Torah keeping, which they're not at all, but Judaism asserts they are. So we see the commands plainly in Scripture, but then, without even really thinking about it, we just look to Judaism for how Judaism says to keep the command. Torah says to keep the Passover. How do we do that? Passover Seder. Torah says to keep the Shabbat. How do we do that? Candle lighting and Torah processionals. We just assume that the most authentically Jewish way to keep the Torah is according to the ones who have been keeping the Torah for 2,000 years. But my point is that Judaism has built a fence around the Torah, as it says in the Talmud, in Pirkei Avot, shrouding the Torah in rituals and rules. By definition, then, Judaism hasn't been keeping the Torah. Judaism has been keeping Judaism. And so do we when we mistake Judaism-ishness for Jewishness. So what can you do then in your Messianic Jewish faith expression to avoid pursuing Judaism-ishness? Not to denigrate or put down Judaism, but to elevate and bring us closer to the pure Word of God. Well, first, you need to realize and admit where you're being Judaism-ish, that you've adopted and adapted Judaism's answers rather than starting and sticking with the Scriptures, that you've submitted to the authority of Judaism rather than the authority of God's Word. Second, you need to begin to recognize the difference between Jewishness and Judaism-ishness. And you do that by knowing what the Scriptures say. You need to push everything you think you know about keeping Torah and what it means to live Jewishly off the proverbial table and then start fresh with just the Scriptures. You need to let God's Word tell you and define what keeping those commands look like. You need to be comfortable with the freedom of broad scriptural strokes and not seek the swaddling comfort of religious management. Third, as Messianic Jews, we need to prioritize what makes us biblically Jewish. Now, I get the idea about holding on to Jewish traditions, that it feels like part of what makes you Jewish, and that by that lifestyle, it helps to communicate to unsaved Jews that you don't need to give up your Jewishness in order to follow Yeshua. But you have to realize that the opposite is also true, that we don't want to make unsaved Jews, specifically non-religious Jews, feel like they have to take on more Judaism in order to follow Yeshua. It's more than enough that they'll need to commit themselves to walking out the Scriptures, which are God's own words. Jews don't need Judaism to tell us how to be inwardly Jewish. And last, if you want to avoid pursuing Judaism-ishness in your pursuit of biblical truth, you need to reevaluate and potentially change the role of Judaism in your life. Is it just a facade, a costume? Is it part of your identity? If so, why? Is that a valid reason? Does it make you a more effective disciple of Yeshua? Does it make you more effective at reaching unsaved Jews? Does it bring you closer to the pure Word of God, or does it hinder it? How would your life and effectiveness for Yeshua change if you put your time, energy, and resources not into keeping the traditions of Judaism, but into knowing and doing the word of God. Reevaluating your extra-biblical faith practices is always an important thing to do from time to time. You need to make sure that you haven't wandered off into something that feels biblical when in fact it's only the inventions of man. So that's what I wanted to share with you today about the concept of Judaismishness, to exhort you to examine how the incorporation of rabbinic, non-messianic Judaism in your faith practice will affect how you view, understand, and live out the scriptures. When you ask yourself whether your lifestyle and beliefs are Jewish versus Judaism-ish, it'll help you to objectively consider the source of those practices and beliefs, to assess whether you're submitting yourself to God's authority or man's, and to evaluate whether you're truly pursuing and accomplishing scriptural goals. If you want to continue to be heavily influenced by and invested in rabbinic Judaism, that's your business. Just know that it's not the same thing as following scripture and carries with it the very real danger of taking you far off course. Our goal shouldn't be Jewish tradition or even Torah keeping, but how to fulfill our biblical calling as disciples of Messiah. Are we really going to do that by trying to be more Judaism-ish? Or by following the example of Yeshua according to God's pure and perfect word? Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Biblically Correct Podcast. If you like this episode and want to see us make more, then we need your help. Visit our website at biblicallycorrectpodcast.org to support the work of Perfect Word Ministries and MJMI through your much-needed donations. And of course, don't forget to rate, review, share, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to receive notifications whenever a new episode is posted. If you have any questions about this teaching, or if there are any other topics you'd like to see me cover, shoot me an email at kevin@perfectword.org. That's kevin@perfectword.org. Until next time, remember that every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for refuting, for setting aright, and for instruction that is in righteousness, so that the man of God may be fully equipped, having been completed for every good act. Shalom.